full and overflowing. Lorna read from John chapter 11, but I want us to focus this morning on this verse in Romans 15 verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with the hope, with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You may not remember what happened on August the 5th, 2010, but you most probably remember the events almost 12 years ago now. And the disaster began in on day shift around lunchtime in Chile's Atacama Desert. Miners were working deep inside the mountain, excavating for copper and gold and other minerals, and they started to feel vibrations, and suddenly there was a massive explosion, and the passageways of the mine filled up with a gritty dust cloud, and the miners were trapped. And when the San Jose mine collapsed, people around the world were fixated on the fate of 33 miners who were trapped 2,300 feet underground. That's about 800 meters for those who work in that, and it's about half a mile below the ground, if you can picture that a little bit better. They were cut off, separated from the outside world with no means of contact and limited food. But despite those seemingly no hope circumstances, the miners believed that God would rescue them, and their relatives outside set up a camp, and they called it Campo Esperanza, which means Camp Hope. And they never succumbed to despair, despite the fact that for 17 days, before the drill finally broke through to the cavern where they were, nobody knew whether or not they were alive. I remember hearing the news. The rescuers had broken through to the shelter where the miners were trapped. And as the engineers pulled up the drill bit to the surface, there was a note attached to the end of it. And it said, "We are well in the refuge, the 33. Those miners would end up spending 69 days below the surface of the earth before the rescuers brought them all to safety. It's a wonderful story of endurance and teamwork and an incredible rescue, but also of faith and hope. And many people in this world, and perhaps even in our church, struggle with hope. Hopelessness and despair are common. And indeed, there are those who feel that they can go on no more and they give up on life. And many things can cause us to feel like that. Recently, the pandemic. Maybe the situation in Ukraine and Russia. Our own political circumstances. It might be fear over the cost of living and financial pressures. Or it may be ongoing illness or tests waiting for results. I want us to think of the hopeless situation that Mary and Martha faced in the passage that we read earlier. They lived in Bethany with their brother Lazarus, but Lazarus became very ill, so they sent a messenger to tell Jesus. Jesus was 20 miles away in Bethabara. But by the time the messenger got back to Bethany with the message, the encouraging news that Jesus gave, that this sickness was not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby, Lazarus was dead. Imagine the pain, the questions, the doubt, the despair. Imagine the hurt as hours turned to days and Jesus didn't appear. Maybe you can identify with Mary and Martha, and you're praying and you say, "Where is God? Does God care? My situation is so hopeless, I can't do anything about it, and my prayers aren't being answered." But the Bible tells us that Jesus loved these people, and it assures us that he loves us too. God wanted to see Mary and Martha's faith even when there was no hope. You know, whenever we have fear, we can't have faith. Fear displaces faith. So we must continue to believe, but our faith must not be misplaced. When everything around is crumbling, God is the rock that never fails. When everything changes, He never changes. Jesus walked into the crumbling worlds of Mary and Martha, and He commanded that the stone would be rolled back. If you were to read further in John chapter 11, you'll read this. And the stone was rolled back from the door of the tomb where Lazarus's body had lain for 4 days in that warm Middle Eastern climate. And then in John 11, verses 41 and 42, we read that Jesus prayed, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Then he called out, "Lazarus, come forth." And an even greater miracle happened than the one that happened in that Chilean desert. Lazarus, who had been dead, walked out of the tomb. And this is the same God that we hope in. It's in Him that we place our trust. But you know, soon after that, very soon after that, the Jewish leaders took Jesus, in whom so many had put their trust and placed their hope, and He was taken and He was beaten and He was whipped and He was bloodied and nailed to the cross and He was put to death. And He too was placed in a tomb. For so many, their hope was shattered again. But on the third day, God raised Him from the dead. And we read in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." Friends, this is where it gets real. This is where the rubber hits the road. We sing, "We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock that cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love." Our hope isn't just for life. Our hope is for eternity. I wonder what your hope's in. Is it in your investment? In your present circumstances? In your healthcare program, in the friends that you have? Think the last 2 years, if they've shown us anything, they have shown us that very little is in our control. Our world can crumble and change very quickly, and we can soon find ourselves in a hopeless situation. But God is greater. And when we think beyond the temporal and to the eternal, we realize that we can live our life without God if we wish, but we can't die without Him. You can buy yourself a little extra time on this earth, but you can't buy yourself a place in heaven. So I encourage you to trust in God so that you too can have this sure and steadfast hope. If we move on a short time, we come into the city of Jerusalem, we come to Acts chapter 3, and we find a man who is crippled. Sometimes you'd say, "Boy, I'm crippled with pain." But this man was crippled in that he could not walk, and he'd been like that his entire life. And so to make ends meet, every morning his friends would bring him to the main gates, one of the main gates to the temple, where he would beg for money. And one day, Peter and John are going to the temple at the time of prayer, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and he asks them for money. And Peter looks straight at him, as does John, and Peter says, "Look at us." Now this man gets really excited and he thinks, "Oh, these men are going to give me something." And Peter says, "We don't have silver or gold, But I'll give you what I do have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he reached out and he touched the man and he took his hand and the man reached up and took Peter's hand and he got to his feet and instantly he was healed and he began to walk. And in Acts chapter 3 verse 8, we read that he is walking and leaping and praising God. What a difference in his life. What a picture of joy. Couldn't we do with some joy? Oh, we can laugh and joke, we can wear a smile, but real joy doesn't evaporate when it's faced with real life. What a day for this man. God's messengers came, shared Jesus with him, and he reached out and believed, and he not only experienced the miracle of healing, but his life was changed completely. Maybe this is your day. You've come to church. If I had silver and gold and I were to give it to you, the pleasure that it would bring to you would only last for a short time because riches make themselves wings and fly away. But I'm sharing with you Jesus. If you reach out and you accept him as your personal Lord and Savior, if you confess your sins to him and trust him for forgiveness, your life will be changed forever too. And you will go from church this morning with a heart full of joy. John Wesley used to say, "Can I commend to you my Jesus?" He knew Jesus, and he wanted to commend him to those that listened. Finally, let us focus on this peace. Jesus spoke a sentence to his disciples just before he would be taken from them and crucified. And in John 16, verse 33, we read, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Jesus knew what was ahead for his disciples, but he knew that his Father would help them and that the Holy Spirit would come and would be there for not only for the disciples, but for all believers. And Jesus knew that despite the awful trials that they would face, they could have peace. And Paul later talks about that. He says about this peace that passes all understanding. Peace is not indifference. Peace knows the trouble, but rests in the arms of God who is in control. There's little peace in our world. There's always a struggle for survival, to improve, to gain. There's anxiety and distress. But there's a hymn that says, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. How I have proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust him more." So to Mary and Martha's lives, Jesus brought hope. As the crippled man reached out and trusted in Jesus, he found joy. And as the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, they knew peace. And so this morning for you, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God reminds us this morning that he will fill us with hope, joy, and peace. And we need to claim that promise as we trust in him and allow the power of the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Remember all of his blessings and keep your trust in him alone. And maybe this morning you say, "Wesley, I believe in God, but I don't know him in this personal way." Then this morning, if you accept him as your Lord and Savior, this God of hope can bring hope to your life too and fill you with joy and peace as you believe in him.